Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Malachi. If you've been with us for some time now, we've been walking through this verse by verse, and we are into chapter 2 a little ways now. We're going to be in Malachi 2, starting in verse 10, going to verse 16, sorry. I don't know my verses. Malachi 2, 10 through 16, and today we're starting the third dispute. We know that Malachi, its rhythm, it reads in this rhythmic way where there's multiple disputes where God will bring this accusation on the people of God, and they will respond in doubt, saying, well, how have we done that? Or how could you say that? And he will have the final word in explaining how he is right to give that accusation. And we are now on the third dispute today. Malachi 2, 10 through 16. Are you there? Let's read it, and then we're going to walk through it this morning and see what it has to say in a very practical way in our lives. This is what the Word of God says. Malachi 2, starting in verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has been faithless, and abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendant of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And the second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he do that? Why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one thing God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and do not be faithless. That is the word of the Lord that we're going to be looking at today. So far, in the disputes that we've looked at, the two before this one, we've seen that they are vertical matters. They're burdens on God's heart regarding vertical issues. What I mean by vertical, that is God to man issues. The first one was God's love for man. The second was man's dishonor to God. And so these are vertical matters that burden the heart of God. Well, today we get to the first dispute, which is actually very horizontal in nature. It is, if you will, man versus man, or man to man conflict and an issue which God wants to address. And I want to tie this into last week's sermon, because last week we talked about how the priests were not boldly proclaiming the word of God, and they were really just letting whatever happen. They weren't taking seriously their call to be the spiritual leaders of God's people. And so let's tie that in to this week, because we see the repercussions of when a spiritual leader does that. Sinfulness starts to invade within the people of God, and just about anything will go. So we see that, the repercussions. When leaders do not teach boldly, sin becomes the norm for the people. And so the specific burden, horizontal burden, that God has a burden to talk about today is marital faithlessness. marital faithlessness. And he's really calling his people, then and now, to marital faithfulness. Look with me in the first two verses that we read today, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has been faithless, and abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem." We see the issue is faithlessness horizontally to one another, and he is calling us to do the opposite, to be faithful in our covenants with one another, particularly in marriage. And I know I just recently addressed marriage in the book of Ruth, if you remember that. If you were with us some months ago, we were going through the book of Ruth, and we talked about marriage and divorce and marital faithfulness and that. And you might say, "Isaac, why? Why do you keep bringing marriage and divorce up?" I say, look, that isn't me. This is just, remember, this is what happens when we do expositional preaching in the church. You just address the issue that's next. And I picked Malachi months and months ago. And so it's not me, I guess. It's just because the Bible talks a lot about it. And so apparently the people of God really need to hear a lot about it. And so the issue is if we look at that 10 and 11 again, we see that it was rampant in the people of God. He says, Jerusalem and Israel and Judah, these are the places where the people of God lived, and he's saying it's rampant. It's all over. The people of God are just living faithlessly to one another. And we know it's rampant in the church today as well. No different. People are still people, sinful, right? We're still just like they were hundreds and thousands, just thousands of years ago, and just been the case ever since the fall. It's rampant in the church. But, you know, I guess I don't know if we should expect anything less when you live in a culture such as the one that they were living in and the culture that we're living in today. When you have a culture like ours, it makes sense that marital faithlessness is prevalent. Let me just get that out there. It makes sense when you're immersed in the world that we see around us. It doesn't make it good, it doesn't make it justified, but it computes. We can see how we get there. When nominal Christianity is the norm and legitimate Christianity is seen as conservative extremism, it makes sense, right? When you live in an age where addiction is commonplace, when most people bring porn or fantasy-informed expectations into the marriage bed and then find disappointment, it makes sense that we see faithlessness rampant amongst the people of God just as they did back then. We can see how we got there. And so we need to address that. But I realize that this is a very heavy and weighty topic. I'm not ignorant to that. I see that, and this is weighed heavy on my heart and how to really fine-tune the words that I'm saying and to speak slowly the words that I'm saying, because I'm aware that there are many stories represented in this room. I know there's a lot of baggage, marital baggage. I know there's those who are married. I know those who are there are those here that were married, no longer married. I know there are those who were going to be married, but something happened. I know there are those who are going to be married. And so I just know there's a wide range of experience and therefore complicated emotions. And I want to be sensitive to that. I heard this week that the greatest pains in this world often come from marriage and from parenting. I think it's equally true that some of the greatest joys in this world come from marriage and parenting. It really makes a big difference on how well we follow the Word of God in our marriage and in our parenting, whether it brings more joy or pain. And so I want to be sensitive to all of these things. And so my prayer for today as we look at this passage is that it would do two things. And both of them I don't want to be shy about. Firstly, I want this passage to be a sword of conviction for those who need it to be that. And some might need it to be that today. And I pray that this passage would maybe wake up the souls and the spirits of those who need it to be a sword to pierce your heart and bring great conviction through the Spirit. And so I hope it does do that. And equally so, I hope and pray that this brings a calming balm over the wounds of those who need it to be that. I'm not just trying to cast stones and throw spears here. I want the Word of God to do what the Word of God can do. And so I pray that that would be the case. So let's dig into the text. Marital faithlessness and the call to be maritally faithful. God pinpoints two ways that someone can be maritally unfaithful. Of course, there's a lot of ways. He pinpoints two. First, a follower of God is being faithless if they join with somebody that they should not be joining with. I'll say that again. A follower of God is being faithless if they join with somebody maritally that they should not be joining with in the first place. This is, in God's eyes, faithlessness. Let's read verse 11 in the rest of what it has to say. It says, Judah has been faithless. Abomination has been committed in Israel and Jerusalem. Four. This is why. Four. Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. This is marital faithlessness. This is demonstrating faithlessness, is marrying the daughter of a foreign god, joining yourself with one who you ought not to be joining with in the very first place. And of course, there's a plethora of ways in which we can do that. In a sense, when you just glance and you look and you see somebody and lust rushes over you, you're being faithless to your spouse and you're not doing any good to that person that you're looking at. And then, of course, there's the acting on it. It's faithless towards the person and the people involved, but I think even more so, it's being faithless to our covenant to God himself. He's the one who we're really being faithless to when we join ourselves in marriage to somebody that we ought not to be joining ourselves with. It's being faithless to God, most importantly. We see that in the Old Testament followers of God were only allowed to marry who? Followers of God. We see this in Deuteronomy 7. There's a whole lot of places, but Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 and 4. Let me see if I've got it here. It says, you shall not intermarry with them, and that's the other nations, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons. For, why is this important? For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you. He would destroy you. You see, Old Testament followers of God were only allowed to marry other followers of God, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, though, when we look at the church, it would lead us to believe that something has changed. It hasn't. New Testament believers or followers of God are only allowed to marry other Christians. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So if we jump back to Malachi 2 and we're looking at how Judah, Israel and Jerusalem, there's faithlessness all over. And the first way that they were joining with other people of foreign gods. They were being faithless. So Christian, I want to just speak directly to you. May you just hear these words. You are not welcome to marry whoever you please. According to God's word. Only in the Lord. And I think there might be some complaints there that say, well, what authority does he have to say in my marriage? What authority does he have in telling me who I want to marry? I guess first my response would be, really? Really? But after we get past that part, I would say he has every authority to tell you who you are allowed to marry and who you are not allowed to marry. He has every authority to do so. When we just look at the very first verse that we read today, 2 verse 10, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? So who is he to tell you who you are or are not allowed to marry? I would say, first off, if you are a Christian, he is your Father. He has a right to tell you. He is your Creator. He made you and he made that other person. He has property rights. So may we trust that God knows better than we do. And I know that's really, really hard. I struggle with that every day. I mean, that's what sin is, isn't it? Thinking we know better than God. And so I know that's hard, especially with somebody who is in a relationship right now, with somebody who is not equally yoked from them. I understand that it's hard to say, God knows better. But please, he does. He knows better. He knows better. This is the first way that you can be faithless that God mentions here. Secondly, a follower of God is being faithless maritally if they leave someone that they should stay with. Do you see this? So if you're a follower of God, you're being faithless maritally if you join together with somebody that you shouldn't be joining, or if you separate from somebody that you should be staying together with. Both are faithlessness. Let's read the last verse. For a man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. This is also faithlessness to God and to that person whom you are in covenant with. Now, I want to say on this, it matters greatly if you're the one who is doing the leaving, or if you're the one who's having it done unto you. It matters greatly. It really does. If you're the one doing it, or if you're the one that's just passively receiving it and not wanting it, there's a big difference, isn't there? If you're the one leaving, and maybe you're in that situation right now, contemplating leaving, I would caution you to think very hard on if the Bible would allow you to do so, because we know we are not our own Lord, are we? He is our Lord, and his word is our guide. So I'd caution you to think very seriously on what the Bible would allow you to do and not allow you to do. If you are the recipient of someone else leaving you, whether past, present, future, just want to encourage you. God grieves with you and for you. And I feel like it just needs to be said to somebody that you are not at fault if you didn't want it and you were fighting for it. Even if you've made mistakes, those, yes, we have to deal with that. We have to trust in the cross of Jesus Christ to cover those sins if we've made mistakes, and we all have. But if you were not wanting to leave, or if you are not wanting to leave, and you're fighting for your marriage, but only one of you were and the other one still left, hear me. God does not, he's not angry with you in the divorce. He grieves with you and for you. I think many people carry shame when they shouldn't be carrying that shame. With that said, Christian, you are not welcome to leave your wife or husband for just any reason you please. Just as you are not welcome to marry whoever you please to join, you are also not welcome to leave for any reason you please. I specifically have in mind divorcing because you're unhappy. Seems to be such a common reason. Falling out of love. We work better as friends. There's just no chemistry. We're not feeling it anymore. You know what I'm talking about? This is a very common, even in the church, reason for leaving one's covenantal partner. And I think a great remedy in that, in fixing that trend of leaving because you're just not happy anymore, I think the remedy to that is knowing that the purpose of your marriage is not happiness. The purpose of your marriage is not happiness. You didn't join together just because you knew every single day would be roses. At least, I hope you didn't, and if you did, I'm so sorry because I'm sure you're disappointed. The purpose of your marriage is not happiness, and so if we just get that through our heads, I think there will be less divorcing 2 years down the road because there's no happiness every single day. But if happiness is the point of your marriage, it's the whole point of your marriage, well, it makes sense that divorce is a legitimate possibility because no marriage is happy every single day. No, the purpose, the biblical purpose for marriage is far greater than just fleeting happiness. It's gospel proclamation. Think about it. When we join husband and wife together, we are proclaiming the gospel to one another and to onlookers. We are showing what sacrifice looks like, or at least we will strive every single day to do so. We are demonstrating that when we are wronged, we respond in grace and mercy. We are proclaiming the gospel in which we ourselves trust in. It's far greater than happiness. The proclamation of the gospel is at hand. When you are contemplating stay or don't stay, that's a purpose for your marriage that will stick. It's also, another purpose for your marriage is personal sanctification. Marriage is a unique arena in which you will grow and be stretched. Can I get an amen? It is. And so when you're being challenged by your spouse and frustrated and so angry, you think the outcome of this marriage brings about an opportunity to look more like Jesus today. Now that is a purpose for marriage. It's an arena for you to grow in holiness. Happiness, it's fleeting. Gospel proclamation, that's in the highs and the lows. Personal sanctification, it's in the highs and the lows. When your marriage is about those things, you'll still have reason to stay even when you're not happy. And I know that's a frustrating message to some people sitting here. I realize that. You might be saying, yeah, but Isaac, it was a mutual agreement between us. Neither of us were happy. We would be better off separate. Heard that? Why can't God just be happy with that? Why can't he just be okay with that? Why can't that just be enough if it's a mutual agreement? We've both come to the same conclusion. We just don't jive together anymore. Why does God have to make it such a big deal? Doesn't he want us to be happy? Let me tell you, God cares that you stay together. and that you don't leave your spouse when you have no biblical warrant to leave your spouse. He cares about that because he is your spouse's creator. And if they're a Christian, he's their father. And he cares for his creation, and he cares for his children. You know the analogy of when a girl goes on a first date, and the guy comes to meet the father, the shotgun's laying on the table. He's just, oh, wow, it's fancy meeting you here, just cleaning one of my guns. You know what I'm talking about? Why should we not leave our spouse when we have no biblical warrant to? Because he is their father. And he takes it very seriously, being their father. So, these are the two ways in which we can be faithless in our marriage. Let's consider the devastating effect of such marital faithlessness. Let's read verses 12 through 14. This is what the Word of God says. Regarding the person who is faithless, both in joining when they shouldn't and separating when they ought not to. Verse 12. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendant of the man who does this, who brings any offering to the Lord of hosts. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. I want to consider a couple things here. First, what are the devastating effects of faithlessness to our spouses? Well, verse 12 talks about us being cut off from God. We know that sin separates us from a holy God. It does. So divorcing somebody else without biblical warrant, hear me, it's sin. It's sin, and sin separates us from a holy God. And this is true for any sin. Not just that, but any sin. It divides man from his creator. One drop of blood in the water immediately causes a chasm that cannot be bridged by man's efforts. We are infinitely divided because of any sin that we commit. But man, there is hope and there's grace for all sinners. Whether you've committed marital sin or you haven't, we are all sinners. And without God's grace and the work of Jesus on the cross, there is an infinite chasm between you and a holy God who cannot allow anything less than perfection to be in his presence. And so God made that way. He said, I will give you the grace necessary, and I will do the work of bearing that sin on the cross myself. I will do it all to bridge that chasm. Oh, please hear me. If you have in the wake of your story marital faithlessness, and even if you don't, but you don't walk with Jesus and you have sin, hear me, there is grace. There's grace. There's grace. There's grace. There's grace. For those who would accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, turn to him, and rely on him for all things. There is grace and there is infinite forgiveness. No sin that you commit is too great. So I'd encourage you, come to Jesus for forgiveness if you haven't. Verse 13. So we see one of the devastating effects is being cut off from God. Verse 13 continues to describe the effect of faithlessness. Let me read it again. Second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. I hear this mentality a lot. I don't know if you have before. The church is on the weekends so that you can say sorry after a really fun week. I've heard it before. That's why it follows Friday and Saturday. It's repentance on Sunday. Heard that? God rejects such Christianity. He rejects that mentality. Living faithlessly throughout the week and then weeping and groaning at the altar of God on Sunday saying, "Why don't you hear my prayers?" Only to circle back and continue in faithlessness on Monday. You know, this verse kind of reminds me, can I just be honest? This verse reminds me of, and I don't mean to be insulting, but children and why they cry. Why toddlers cry. Why do toddlers cry? Well, children will cry when they don't get what they want, right? Think of Judah. Right now, he's got a big kick for Vroom Vroom. And Vroom Vroom is our mower. He will, and he knows the word for key, and he can't say mower, but he can say vroom vroom. And so, first thing in the morning, Sarah can attest, he will wake up, sit up, and say, "Vroom vroom, key, please." And this is please. And he just wants to sit on the mower. It's just, he loves it. Vroom vroom, key, please. And that's just, and I don't always feel like going to the vroom vroom at 5 in the morning. So he doesn't get what he wants. Can you believe what he's going to do? He's going to cry. That's why children cry. Another reason why children cry is because of the consequences for their actions, not necessarily their actions. They're not always crying because they do something wrong. They cry because of the consequence that follows. Right? And this is just human nature. If you rewind all the way back to Genesis with Cain. Cain kills his brother Abel, and God sends a consequence for his sin. And do you remember what Cain says to God? He doesn't say, "Oh, I feel so bad and I'm so sad because of what I did." He says, "God, that's so harsh. Why would you do that? That's such a strong consequence, God." We don't cry because of our sin. We cry because of the consequence that follows. That's what Israel's doing there. They're not crying because they're maritally faithless. They're not sad because of their divorce. They're sad because God no longer hears their prayers. They're sad because of the chasm that it's created. And we're no different. So let me just say this. Tears on Sunday morning is not a sure sign of genuine conversion. And I thought through that sentence very seriously this week, and I'll say it again because I truly believe it. Tears on Sunday morning is not a sure sign of genuine conversion. Confession of sin and a life of repentance is a sure sign of genuine conversion. They were crying on Sunday morning. But they were not willing to give up their faithlessness. Here's the solution. I'm going to wrap up. So we saw ways in which we can be faithless. We saw the devastating effect that it has on our lives, being cut off from God, no longer having a relationship with Him. What's the solution? Very simply, it's the Spirit of God working in your life. That's the solution. That's the solution. It's the Spirit of God active and moving in your life. Let me read the last two verses, verses 15 and 16. This is what the Word of God says. "Did He not make you one with a portion of the Spirit?" Notice how many times Spirit is mentioned. "With a portion of the Spirit in their union." And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So what? So guard yourselves in your spirit. "And let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does this does not love his wife, but divorces her, says the Lord God of Israel. He covers his garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So Guard yourselves in your spirit. Do not be faithless. This is true just in general in your life. Please don't zone out before you hear this. You need the Spirit of God in your life. Just generally speaking, married or not, you need the Spirit of God in your life. If you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, union with God is impossible. But if you do have the Spirit of God living within you, separation from God is impossible. If you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, may today be the day that you find that salvation. Oh, I would love that. Just pray that for you. Have the Spirit of God in your life, generally speaking, but also the Spirit of God in your life is the remedy, the fix, specifically in your marriage, not just your life in general. He was the one who bound your marriage together in the first place. That's the start of verse 15, right? Did he not make them one with a portion of spirit and union? He was the one there from the very beginning. So guys, what's our responsibility in our marriage? It's to work to keep him central throughout it. Two different times, in verse 15 and in verse 16, it says, guard yourselves in your spirit. Guard yourselves in your spirit so that you would not be faithless. Whatever type of sin tempts you to be faithless, whether it be sexual, whether it be your anger, whether it be verbal aggression, whatever it might be that would cause you to be faithless to your spouse, you need the Spirit of God to work in your life. May we rely and look to His Spirit for strength. Let me just close up with just telling you. I didn't really know how to close this, to be honest. So I thought, you know what, I'll just come up with three summarizing words. First, strive. If I were to pack this one into three words, strive. We are called to be faithful, and God is burdened for you and I to be that. So may we strive for it. Secondly, rely. Striving only goes so far if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And so rely on Him every day. Say, God, give me strength. This is so hard. There's so many things we need to fix. Strive and rely. Thirdly, I can't say this word emphatically enough. Grace. God alone has been perfectly faithful in His covenant keeping. You won't be. You haven't been and you won't be. So there's great grace that is needed. The love that God shows His bride is complete faithfulness. It's something that we can admire and follow. And so can I just say to the person, I just wanted to finish with this, one verse and one encouragement. Even if your heart has been broken by someone else, and I'm sure there's somebody in here, that's the case. You've been the recipient of faithlessness. Can I just tell you, God will not be faithless to you. He won't be faithless to you. This is the last verse I want to read to you. Isaiah 54, verses 5 and 6. Your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, He is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth. And she's cast off, says your God. Thank Jesus that He is faithful, even when we aren't.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.